Amen. Please be seated. Our gospel lesson this morning is from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, as we continue in our series in Luke, and where Luke, led by God's Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, relayed these wonderful words of life, these words and deeds of our gracious Savior. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. After he had finished all these sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue." And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Gracious Father, as we look into this account of your Son's healing love, we pray that all who are weary would find rest, all who mourn would find comfort, all who struggle would find victory, all who sin would find the Savior, all who are strangers would find a home, all who hunger and thirst would be satisfied, and all would know the healing touch of your Son by the power of your Spirit. Through Christ we pray, amen. Well, when we were last together in Luke's gospel, we heard the words of our Lord Jesus at the end of chapter 6, at the end of his famous sermon there, illustrate the life of saving faith, the blessing and the life that comes through saving faith in Jesus. All who come to Jesus, he said, and place their faith in him and build their life on his teachings are like a man who builds his house on the rock. And when the rain falls and the floods come and the winds blow and beat on that house, it will not fall because it has been built on the rock. Now Luke follows that illustration, that parable about the blessedness of faith in Jesus, with a true story of the blessedness of faith in Jesus. The faith of a Roman centurion, a Gentile who places his faith in Jesus. I want us to consider his faith and the healing ministry of Jesus under two headings this morning. First, Jesus' healing of the centurion's servant in answer to and through the centurion's faith. And then second, Jesus' healing ministry today. First, Jesus' healing ministry of the centurion's servant. Jesus had traveled with his disciples to Capernaum, which is on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And a Roman soldier, a centurion, meaning a captain who oversaw around 100 men, that term centurion was used loosely, sometimes it was up to several hundred men. This centurion had a servant, could be translated a bondservant or a slave, who was on death's door. This servant was highly valued to him. The centurion loved him. Later in verse 7, he refers to him as my child. The ESV translates it as my servant. Really, in the Greek, it's my child. It's a term of endearment. Such was the love of this centurion for his servant. So when the centurion heard that Jesus was in Capernaum, and he heard about the authoritative way that Jesus taught and healed the sick, he knew he had to reach Jesus and implore him to heal his beloved servant. He believed that the Jewish elders with whom he was acquainted would have access to this holy Jewish healer who was in high demand. So he asked them to intercede with Jesus on his behalf. And that is what they did. The elders of Capernaum pleaded with Jesus to heal the centurion's servant. As we've seen already in Luke's gospel, some of the Jewish leadership, many of the Jewish leadership, were conspiring against Jesus to kill him. They didn't want him performing any more miracles because that took the spotlight off of them and drew people and power away from them. But these Jewish leaders in Capernaum were different. They had an open heart to Jesus. So they interceded for the centurion and his servant. Wanting Jesus to intervene, they laid out their case in verse 4. He is worthy to have you do this for him because he loves our nation and he is the one who built us our synagogue, our house of worship here in Capernaum. These Jewish elders knew their Bibles. They knew passages like the one that Kenneth read earlier from Genesis chapter 12, where God told Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, meaning you and your descendants, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. The centurion had blessed Abraham's people. He had built their synagogue. Now, this probably didn't mean that he literally went out there and got on his hands and feet and physically built the synagogue himself. Rather, as a wealthy man, a philanthropic man, he had likely donated money and possibly the manpower of his soldiers to facilitate the construction of this sanctuary. Though he was not a Jew, he had an appreciation for the faithful Jews, the contribution they made to their society, to the city of Capernaum, and the morals their community advanced. You see this kind of thing in the history of the Christian church as well. Philanthropists who might not even be believers in Jesus have given to the church over the generations, for the building of sanctuaries and the building of Christian schools, because they appreciate the benefits that Christianity brings to society. So it was with this centurion. The argument the Jewish elders made to Jesus was, he has blessed our people. Thus he is worthy to have your blessing, the healing of his servant. And Jesus went with them. But when the centurion either saw Jesus drawing near his home or heard that he was coming, he sent friends to Jesus, saying in verse 6, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy. That's his appraisal of himself. I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word and let my child be healed. For I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to the one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. So the centurion went even deeper spiritually than the Jewish elders had gone. The centurion didn't claim his worthiness before Jesus. He didn't say, Jesus, I built a house of worship for your people, therefore you owe me this. There was no such presumption in the heart of the centurion. Instead, recognizing the greatness of Jesus, that's the key. Recognizing the greatness of Jesus, whom you noticed he called Lord, King, Sovereign. This powerful, wealthy centurion said, I am not worthy for you to step foot in my home. And it was likely a very nice home. The centurion recognized his own unworthiness. It goes back to the Beatitudes of Jesus. As we saw in the chapter before, blessed are you, said Jesus, who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. This centurion was not poor materially. He was not poor materially, far from it, but he was poor spiritually. And therefore he was blessed. He was poor spiritually in the sense that in the presence of Jesus, he recognized his own spiritual need, his own spiritual poverty, his own spiritual bankruptcy. More than that, his own spiritual indebtedness. As we prayed earlier, forgive us our debts. This materially wealthy man, who was generous with his material blessings, recognized that spiritually speaking, he owed a debt he could not pay. But at the same time, although he recognized his unworthiness, he was convinced of Jesus' ability to bless him. I'm not worthy, but you are able. He was convinced of Jesus' ability to bless him. And he had heard about Jesus' willingness. That's key too. His willingness to bless people who called on him for blessing. He recognized Jesus' authority, and he believed in his goodness. When Jesus heard of this man's faith expressed so matter-of-factly, he marveled. He was amazed. He marveled at this Gentile's faith. So he said to the crowd that followed him in verse 9, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. This Gentile placed his faith in Jesus, the one whom sadly many of the Jews were refusing to receive. And when he did communicate his faith in Jesus, his servant was instantly healed. Luke tells us in verse 10, when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. So first, the centurion's faith in Jesus' miraculous, merciful healing of his servant. And in the second place, Jesus' healing ministry today. As we've already noted in our study of Luke, as we've seen other healings recorded in Luke's gospel, Jesus is the great healer of his creation. This is his creation. He's the great healer of his creation that was broken by the fall. He is the one who says in Revelation 21, 5, "Behold, I am making all things new." And sometimes, even today, he demonstrates that by healing us physically, as he healed the centurion's beloved servant. And we adore him and give him thanks for healing in that way. But he also, through his gospel, heals our spiritual hearts and lives. He heals us through his gospel, and by his mighty Spirit, he heals us from the inside out. He heals spiritually those that we might think are beyond healing. It's funny, before we are healed spiritually, we're beyond healing. Then we get healed, and then we think everybody else is beyond healing. Well, you know, everybody thought the centurion's servant was beyond healing until Jesus healed him, until Jesus showed up on the scene, and the centurion believed. One of the reasons the Gospels include this episode about the healing of the centurion's servant is to show that Jesus heals in unlikely situations. To many of the Jews, the Gentiles were not part of God's plan of salvation. They were irredeemable. They were not to be pitied. They were to be shunned and condemned. And those who worked for the wicked Roman Empire were especially to be loathed. So in commending the Gentile centurion's faith and healing his servant, Jesus was saying salvation is not about your religious pedigree. It is not about being a physical descendant of Abraham. It is about having faith in the God of Abraham, as God promised Abraham in you, that is ultimately in your seed, that is ultimately in Jesus, the physical descendant of Abraham, the long-promised Messiah. In you all families of the earth shall be blessed. But somehow or another, that was lost to many of the Jews. But Jesus and those who recorded the words and deeds of Jesus wanted the world to know that Jesus is Savior not only of the Jews, but of the Gentiles too. In Matthew's account of this healing, we hear Jesus commend the centurion's faith with these words, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from the east and west." That means outside of Israel. "Many will come from the east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom, many of the Jews, will be thrown into the outer darkness." Those who don't receive the Messiah within Israel will be thrown into outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We should let Jesus' point sink in. Salvation is not found in self-righteously shunning those who don't measure up to our religious standards. Salvation is found in recognizing our own sin and unworthiness for salvation and coming to Jesus and placing our faith in Him. Salvation is found when we stop trusting in ourselves and our own supposed goodness compared to others, and we look to Jesus to heal our souls. I heard this recently. I was reminded of this wonderful reality, the gospel. In an interview of a couple of folks who had gotten caught up in the transgender movement, as our elders have begun to address and teach us about and seek to equip us in the Sunday school hour. And I saw this interview. It was not on a Christian show or a Christian network or anything like that, but at the end of the interview with these couple of people who had gotten caught up in the transgender movement and ensnared in the lies and false promises of happiness of it. One had become suicidal, and both had completely lost their way. A man who had been trying to live as a woman was befriended by some Christians. There's the key. Befriended by some Christians, he said. He had gotten into substance abuse because it's just so empty inside. And some Christians befriended him and tried to get him some help. And he said at the end of this interview, "I eventually found my way to the Lord Jesus Christ." In Jesus, this man found healing and true happiness and began to live as God had created him to live, finding his identity in Jesus. And a woman who likewise came to see that she had been deceived by the transgender movement said, "I finally confess to God, I am a woman living as a man." And she said the moment she did that, the Holy Spirit so powerfully came into her that it knocked her back in the chair in which she was sitting. She said, "At that moment, I realized I have to go back to being the woman God created me to be." Jesus still heals by his Spirit through the good news of his grace. He is still healing those who turn to him in faith. May our hearts be trusting him for healing in our lives. May our prayers be imploring him for healing in the lives of others, as the Jewish elders implored him for the centurion, as the centurion implored him on behalf of his servant. May our prayers be imploring him for healing in the lives of others, and may the love we show and the good news of his grace that we share compel them to come to him and live. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.